May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Much of what I will share with you today comes from the Gospel of Mark in the 9th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse. But before I get there, Melody Beattie talks about vision, a hope, a dream, a plan for the future. We as a congregation here at St. George's are at that moment. It's kind of like you and I have been dating, hanging out, getting to know each other for about 6 months. And then you make the decision. I've often said to the young women in the youth groups that I've had some level of mentoring in, if you're dating somebody and they don't treat you like a princess, drop them on their head now, because this is the best they'll ever treat you. But let me tell you that there's a counterpart to that. I often say to the young man, watch her mom. Watch her mom. Because if you see dignity and respect and honor and love and compassion in her mom's face, and she has imparted that as a spiritual mentor to her daughter, you will be blessed. And then I usually leave it at that. Melody Beattie says, gratitude makes us and gives us a sense of our past, brings us to peace with today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. One more time. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace to today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. We need to be able to figure out, not only as a church, but in our personal lives, what are we grateful for in the past? It's so easy to stir up what hurt, what left us angry or frustrated or disturbed, but what are the gifts, the blessings of the past that inform your present so that you can be at peace with now and move into the future? That's not only true for church life, but our individual lives as well. It's helpful to recall what Helen Keller said. She made the statement, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. You see, all of the scriptures tie together, and one of the major themes is how we see the world. How we see the world around us. When we look at somebody that we love, how do we see them? Do we see the very best in them? Or do we search for the flaws to make us feel better about ourselves? When we think of our faith, do we think of an awesome, amazing, phenomenal God, as is revealed in the Psalms? Or do we think of God punishing people, of constant judgment? It's almost as if we have this sense that God comes along and just whacks people. That's not true. Not true. What is true is that there are a set of natural consequences for people's behavior. And that's to what the Psalms speak. The Old Testament lesson today was absolutely marvelous because it's between Elijah and Elisha, and one is the mentor and one is the mentee, and the mentor is about to be taken away, and the mentee saying, have I gotten everything I needed from you? Can you stay a little while longer? And if you can't, I'm going to stay until the very last moment with you just to get every morsel of insight and wisdom I possibly can. And even in the departure, the mentee waits for instruction, guidance. And what he doesn't know is that this decision by God is that he will take over. He will be the next leader. And if he's been trained well, if he's been equipped well, if he's blessed by the Holy Spirit, then he will be a great leader as the one before him. Why is that important to you? Who are your mentors? Who are the people in your life that inspire and encourage and empower you? Do you spend the most time you possibly can with them? Or do you preoccupy your time trying to please those you never will please? We each have them in our lives. You could walk up to somebody and say, I'm now the president of an international corporation and I make billions of dollars and I got a boat and I got a plane and I got a car and I got a house, and they would look at you and say, yeah, but did you clean your nails this morning? I understand that we need to be in relationships with difficult people, and I respect that, but I don't think that it's where we spend most of our time. It's not healthy. We need to spend time with those mentors, those coaches, those people of influence. And some of you are saying, for heaven's sake, Stephen, I'm 80. Oh, this is when the table turns. Because there comes a moment in your 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s where you become the mentor. You become the coach to that cousin, to that nephew, to that niece, to that child, to that grandchild, inspiring and encouraging them with moments of radiant transformation of your faith. Let me unpack it. Now we're on the gospel. Jesus takes some of his closest friends on a mountain, and in the midst of the experience, he's transformed. Let me explain it to you. It's like a mask is peeled, and they get to see his full glory just for a minute. And in the midst of that moment, Moses and Elijah show up, and the disciples say, this is great. Let's build a house for all three of you, because we want you to stay. And Jesus, realizing that the experience is overwhelming for them, says, no, this is just a glimpse of the glory that can be revealed after the crucifixion and resurrection. And ask them to not tell anyone, but he's given them that glimpse of glory. Why does Jesus Christ give us glimpses of glory? Why does he show up for us in specific moments of life? He does that so that you have something to remember, to remind you of his glory when you're going through the dark night of the soul. When you're having your worst time, you reflect back on those extraordinary moments when God showed up, that you knew, that you knew, that you knew he was there. This was one of those moments. Both in the New Testament passage and in the gospel, we're reminded that the glory of God may sometimes be veiled, hidden a little bit. Let me unpack the theology. This is so very straightforward, but it's put in complicated terms based on the ancient times and the tradition of that moment. It's as simple and straightforward as this. Non-believers think that if God shows them, they'll believe. If I see it, I'll believe it. And God's response is, when you believe it, I will reveal it so you can see it. Non-believers will say to us, I see absolutely no evidence of God's presence in my life right now. And yet, it's about risk and it's about faith, about praying for God's presence in your life. And when you believe what you are praying, God will peel back the veil and reveal to you his extraordinary purpose and meaning for your life. Why is that important? Why is that important in today's age? Kerwin Ray has done some extraordinary writing on this. He was doing a study just recently on judgment, and he said that you and I waste all kinds of time on judgment of other people. Somebody walks by and we don't like what they're wearing or how they're walking or how they're talking or how they're behaving, and we take time to judge them, to make comments and reflections about them. We're wasting breath. We're wasting a heartbeat. Wasting time, says Kerwin. Now, I wouldn't pay much attention to Kerwin Ray. I mean, there's a lot of people out there talking about stuff, and, you know, why would I pay attention to Kerwin Ray? Well, I pay attention to Kerwin because he is consulted in 11 countries, taught 100,000 students, and made hundreds of millions of dollars for those that he coaches. So will I ask your opinion? Of course I will. I value your opinion. But when it comes to somebody that's made hundreds of millions of dollars for his clients, taught 100,000 people and consulted in 11 countries, I thought we should look at what he said. Just saying. What is he saying? He has almost died 7 times. His wife, Kristen, stands closely beside his side, and so does his son. And he says these are the key questions we need to ask ourselves as we cast a vision for the future, for our lives and the lives of the community around us. As we see the world in a new way, these are the questions. What am I here to do? What is my meaning and purpose? What do I love to do? What am I passionate about? You see, it's a matter of the heart. We can only make decisions for the future when we have addressed the issues of our heart. In the Bible study earlier this week, somebody talked about the importance of having people in your life that call you out, that say to you, you have made a mistake and you need to correct it. It's like a friend of mine who will hold up a mirror to me and say, Stephen, what do you see? And my response automatically in my human flesh is, I see a dead man holding the mirror. We don't like critique. We don't even like it from those who love us the most that say it because they love us. But in order to have a new vision, a new insight, a new purpose, we need to examine what's going on right now. We need to be grateful for the past. We need to be aware of peace in the present. And we need to be getting ready for the future. I love doing marriage prep. When I sit down with a couple, all I can see is promise. All I can see is hope. All I can see is new beginnings, and that is such a beautiful part of the ministry, to be able to pry and provide them with some tools to say, this is an opportunity for a new vision. I don't know if you know this, there's a new book out called Lost Connections. It's addressing the issue of depression in our society, of people who have lost their vision, lost their ability to see the possibilities for the future. Tucker Carlson is the writer, and he was on a major news network in the last week, and he was talking about our natural physical needs that we have met, but when it comes to our psychological and spiritual needs, we are, and I quote, the loneliest society in history. What are those things that we need? Belonging, meaning, purpose, a part of something. Getting ready to be part of a group that's going to do amazing and wonderful things for the society around us. Sometimes this is hard. We're frustrated. We're confused. Things aren't the way we planned. I mean, if you want to see what it's like to make sure that all of your plans go immediately out the window and everything's different than you planned, have kids. You know it's true. They bless you, they anoint your life, but my goodness gracious. I remember sitting at the table during the entire teenage years of our 4 children, and Joyce would look at me and she would say, are you going to be okay? Just listening. I'll tell you, the vast majority of them turn out really well. Wonderful, loving adults. But it's the love and the courage and the faith that you pour into them that results in what good comes out of it. You know, sometimes we are a little bit judgmental. We forget that even young people have vision. This past week on a major news network, there was a story about St. Jude's Hospital and the work being done at the childhood cancer work. A little girl by the name of Lily, 4 years old, has been diagnosed with leukemia. And her big brother doesn't know what to do. So Joe goes to his university and he says to all of his friends, let's party. oh, wait a minute, what just happened? How many of us just went to judgment? You heard me say, let's party, and you thought, yeah, typical university student. No, 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 wait, wait. Hold on, not the end of the story. Always listen for the end of the story. So Job goes to his 800 best friends, tells them about his baby sister, and asks if they'll raise some money together, if they'll have a celebration with games and sports and activities, and if they'll come together and they'll raise money for St. Jude's Research Hospital, and some of that being the care of his baby sister. You see, he could have seen his sister's illness and the possibility of her death, but instead, he saw the possibilities of research, of doctors and nurses who dedicate their lives to change other people's lives. He saw the possibilities. And on a major news network, it was reported that Joe and his 800 best friends in research funding development at St. Jude's Research Hospital received a check for $146,000 of one-night university party. Every one of us is capable of doing amazing and extraordinary things, but the fundamental principle begins with this. We need to find moments of gratitude in the past. We need to come to peace with the present, and then we need to begin to ask this question. What do you love to do? What are you passionate about? Why are you here? And what difference can you make? For true leadership in our society is about asking those questions and about moving forward with meaning and purpose. Jesus Christ came to this world to offer us meaning and purpose. May we celebrate that faith with everything that we say, do, and think this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.